I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. Phone number to call is 888-808-1019. We have a lot to do tonight, including the very popular Ask Tommy Anything. That'll be coming up later on in the show. That is your one opportunity all week to ask me anything. It's one of the segments we do here on After Hours. The other segment we do, which was a very, very huge success, was Settle the Debate, which we like to call STD. But when I think about the title, maybe it needs a little, something's missing with it. Maybe I should call it Settling the Debate, STD. Well, we'll work on that. We'll workshop that with our After Hours crew here. But I'm going to begin with the Yankees. And one man in particular. And that's Anthony Volpe. I believe Anthony Volpe has to earn his starting job back. He should not be handed the reins to the shortstop of the Yankees as soon as he comes back from injury. Jose Caballero, to me, is a better option at this point. He gives you more energy, more stolen bases, and a different wrinkle than anyone else in that lineup. Anthony Volpe is a player that has gone backwards in his career. He is trending in the wrong direction. He has not earned the right, as far as play on the field, to be handed the starting shortstop job. And the Yankees really, every step of the way last year, did wrong by Anthony. Meaning, they should have sent him down. They should have benched him. They should have put him in a situation where he had a fight for the job. And then we find out he was hurt. So they didn't do him any favors, but he has still been a player that's been on the decline. And early talks in the offseason was, well, the Yankees are going to hold down the fort for when Volpe returns. No, that's not the way it goes. Oh, that's not the way it should go. Caballero's the shortstop. When Volpe gets back from injury, he's got to earn the playing time. He'll get his opportunities, but he's got to produce. Because Volpe is now in this situation that is a tough place to land. And that is, you are public enemy number one of Yankee fans. And once you get on that list, it's tough to get off it. And if the perception becomes reality where people think, okay, this is the golden boy, he's the handpicked guy. If Caballero is playing really well and Volpe comes back from injury and they just hand him the job like it's nothing, there's going to be backlash, especially if Volpe struggles. And based on his performance over the last couple years, it's ticked down and down and down. The defense, the approach at the plate is not good enough to be anointed as the guy. You can't get the Jeter treatment when you're not Derek Jeter. I'm sure the idea and the plan is for him to blossom into something close to Jeter, especially with the way he is treated in terms of chances. But at some point, you have to say, you know what? This could be the best thing for him. To have to scratch and claw your way back to the top. And by top, I mean just the starting shortstop of the Yankees, which is a very prestigious position to man day in and day out. But it's not something that should be handed to you. Not with the production that he has had over the last couple years. Not with the approach at the plate. Not with the defense. And even if you're in the camp, well, last year he was hurt. Let's point to that. That caused last year's decline. Either way, I think it really could do Volpe a lot to have to earn it back. I'm not saying he's entitled, but what I am saying is the Yankees have treated him differently. Like, there's just been a longer leash and rope for him. And if you are put in a situation where you're now on the bench and you're seeing somebody else play your position, I think that could work in Volpe's favor. Instead of handing him the job, the fans are going to be ready to boo at moment's notice. The first ball that sails into the stands, or the first strikeout, or the first double play that he grounds into, the fans are going to be all over him because he's on the list. And once you're on there, very difficult to get off it. So you're not doing him any favors by thrusting him back into that starting role. Play Caballero. Let him be the shortstop. Utilize the 50 stolen base potential that he gives you and that spark that he provides as a just all-world base stealer to complement the power that you have on this team, and then allow Volpe to work his way back into the starting role. Do not thrust him into the starting role. And I have no idea why Ryan McMahon is getting reps at shortstop. That, to me, makes absolutely no sense. Even in a backup situation. Because McMahon is dynamite at third, doesn't mean it translates to shortstop. Plus, who's going to play third base if McMahon gets an opportunity at shortstop? Now, maybe this is a small blip on the radar type of thing and doesn't end up being a huge story, but the idea that they're giving McMahon these reps, to me, is a head-scratcher. I don't understand that one. I really don't. But the Yankees, as they enter this season, they have a perception issue. Running it back, country club, Boone takes orders from Cashman, right? Like, they're constantly living in this narrative world. And one of the narratives that surrounds this team is that Volpe is the golden boy and will get every single opportunity to succeed, even though the numbers tell you he's going backwards. Not all of it his fault, which is why I think it will be best for him to sit on the bench, not be the starter, and allow him to get his feet back underneath him and not get thrust right back into the fire and the ire of Yankee fans, because that's exactly what's going to happen because they'll be waiting. Especially if Caballero's playing lights-out baseball. It's just, that's not a good situation to have for Volpe or for Anthony. That to him, to me, it's more on him. Like, that's a lot to put on his shoulders. Especially coming off the year that he had where he is now on the list. A list that Gary Sanchez was on. A list that Joey Gallo was on. A list that, you know, A-Rod was on, but A-Rod got off the list. A list that Josh Donaldson was on. A list that Devin Williams was on. Where the mere sight of this player and you get that guttural boo reaction from the fans. So this isn't me taking jabs at Volpe. Like, maybe the production went down over the last couple years because it was too much too soon. Maybe it was because of injuries. Defensively, he's just gone backwards, even though Aaron Boone will consistently tell you that's not the case. It is the case. And you know Aaron's watching the games. He's trying to protect the player, but watch the games, and you would see that his defense is not good. And his approach at the plate, which is definitely not his fault, is just abysmal. But I don't put that on Volpe at all, the approach at the plate. To me, that is just a organizational-wide mistake by not diagnosing that Volpe is swinging too much for the fences, needs to shorten it up, needs to be more of a doubles hitter. I don't know if he could ever be like Bo Bichette, but to me, that's kind of the comp. That all-around hitter. Not a 208 hitter that could hit 25 home runs. That's not what you're looking for in terms of his skill set. You want a high on base guy, a guy that hits for a high average, can steal bases. And then I think that offensive production will help his defense because in a lot of ways, like you don't forget how to play defense, but that bad offense and that low average can gravitate towards your defense. And I don't care what you say. You know, you're from these parts. You're from the tri-state area. You're getting booed. It's tough. It probably means more to you to get booed or hurts more to get booed than it would from a player coming from wherever. You know, if they're a free agent from the Red Sox or whatever. No favors were done for him. Like, maybe the Yankees thought they were doing the right thing by him, but they weren't. He needed to get sent down. He needed to be benched earlier. If he was playing through an injury, which he was, he needed to either be shut down. And here we are now this season. The best thing for Volpe is to not be thrown right back into it. Because the perception, number one, is that he gets all the chances in the world because he is somehow the handpicked golden boy by Cashman, and then Boone sort of follows suit. And also, this is a player that you have to also think the psyche. Where is that at? He's hearing it. He knows what's waiting for him if he struggles. Booze. And I also wonder out loud, and I think the first month or so will kind of tell the story on this. I have been critical of the Yankees offseason. And I've gotten some pushback, but not strong pushback, which leads me to believe that the majority of Yankee fans, at least the ones that I have heard from or have seen things on social media, are not overly excited with the offseason. So I wonder what the reaction will be early on to this team if they get off to a slow start. Now, if they come out of the gates, you know, blazing, then yeah, if it's like last year with the torpedo bat situation where everybody was celebrating that, then yeah, that will kind of shove the offseason to the side. The narratives of December, January, February, March can go away very quickly. But if you get off to that slow start, they can build and build and build and build and build. And then it becomes a narrative throughout the year and questions that the players have to answer throughout the year. But in my estimation, what's best for the Yankees and what's best for Volpe is to not hand him the keys to the kingdom right out of the gate. Let him climb back up the mountain. Let the fans see that. I think it will do wonders for his psyche. I think it'll do wonders for his game. I think it'll benefit the Yankees. And everybody wins in that situation. don't be stubborn and force feed a player down everybody's throat just because he's your handpicked guy. Because that's what everybody will be thinking. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's After Hours. Positive Tommy here in prime time. Let's go to Eric in Lindenhurst. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Tommy. How are you? This is Eric. Listen, thank you. The 2 years I've been saying about Volpe, no one's really listening to me, and I'm not hearing anything about it. The guy, he doesn't even belong in the major leagues right now. Not after having the most errors in the league at batting 150. He's 5'9.5". He has the body of a second baseman, not a shortstop.
So you want to move him to second, presumably moving on from Jazz at some point here.
Listen, I just found out that Caballero is actually 6'2". Now that sounds more like a shortstop to me. Plus, he's just better. I mean, that's why I'm just going to – you said everything I wanted to say, but also one more thing about the Yankees.
Okay? Yeah.
I'm going to call it – they have a category. It's called the Yankees believe in this guy, blah, blah, whomever.
Right.
Torres, Sanchez, Hicks, Volpe.
Yeah.
And they ignore the other guys that actually produce. It's a weird dynamic, a phenomena. They have this thing.
And you know what, Eric? Not to cut you off there, but you're not alone in the sense that the fans see through it, and the player ends up being universally sports disliked. Because they see through what's going on and they understand what's going on. And the player gets the brunt of it because the fan base goes, what the heck are we doing here? Why is this guy out there? Why is he up in the big leagues? Why is he hitting where he's hitting in the order? Like you said, the players that you mentioned kind of all fit that category. And they had their rough patches here in New York. And most of them don't make it through. So Volpe's still a young player. He's still a player that you have a lot of stock in. The more you put him in bad situations, the less likely he is going to have a successful Yankee career.
In fact, he could be ruining his career.
Right.
Because if you put him at second, what if he succeeds? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, look, you could put him at second. You could always throw Jazz at third. Like, I'm talking about, like, this year. I assume you mean this year, not, like, long term. This year, you could still move some guys around the diamond, too. But long term, Volpe could settle in as the second baseman, for sure. But there are ways to make him the second baseman at times this year, too.
Right. Well, not necessarily the Yankee. I'm saying as a career.
As his career.
Let's say, you know what I mean? As a career, he should be.
In the future.
He's not throwing 95 like A-Rod, let's face it.
No, well, come on. Well, yeah, A-Rod's one of the all-time great shortstops, period, but certainly defensively. Absolutely.
Right. And he's got height. I thank you for the focal. Is anything else? No, I got nothing else.
No, it's good, Eric. That's good. I'm glad you went through all your notes there and you tried to see if you had anything else to say. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. That's interesting, though. A move over to second base. Sometimes that could do wonders for a player. Trying something different. The problem is, if it's with the Yankees try something different, don't always go in the same sentence. But I'm just looking at it from the viewpoint of, it used to be, like before the deadline, it was always, well, if you move Volpe off a short, meaning if you send him down or you bench him, you have nobody to put at shortstop. What's the backup? What's the option? What's plan B? You have to put Volpe at shortstop. Now you have a viable guy that you could put at shortstop. So that excuse or that pushback is no longer something that is valid. And now you have to look at a player that is still very young. He is a baby when you consider his age in terms of years in the big leagues. He has a long career, hopefully, ahead of him. And you'd like to think it would be with the Yankees. But I'm telling you, because we've seen it before, where if you don't put the player in his best position to succeed and the fans start to turn, this town will eat you alive. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Jesse is in East Northport on After Hours. What's going on, Jesse?
Yo, what's going on?
Hey.
I guess the question is, when is the last time the lineup has just been good enough for us to deal with a guy like Volpe who's struggling and needs to be picked up by his teammates? They continue to find themselves with Volpe being right in the center of the action, or Wells being right in the center of the action.
Right.
It's like, These guys need to be on the back burner of the lineup, but we just haven't been good enough in the last decade.
Yeah, I think it speaks to when people talk about depth in the lineup and you don't want to have any holes in the lineup because it's like a bad fielder. The ball always finds you. If you have a hitter in that lineup that just is an automatic strikeout, an automatic double play, it never fails. They're going to come up in a big spot with two runners on and they're going to ground into a double play. You're right.
It feels like Trent Grisham is going to do sort of like a Luke Voit thing to us. He lured us in with decent numbers. He did some good stuff, and now we've locked him down. And now we didn't make any big moves.
Yep.
And we got Grisham, and it's like, dude, his defense is okay. It's not elite. They keep saying it's elite. It's not elite. And I don't think he's going to replicate.
And he didn't hit down the stretch or in the postseason.
He's certainly not a leadoff hitter.
No, and he put the Yankees completely botched that situation from the start, and I don't think they thought he was going to accept the qualifying offer. I think they got caught with their pants down, and that set the tone for the entire offseason, and now you're going to have Dominguez, you're going to have Jones, they're going to start in AAA. Grisham is going to hog that spot, and my gut is, because he took the qualifying offer, they're going to be stubborn, and they're going to play him. Exactly.
Yeah.
Even if he struggles, and I'm with you, this is not a shot against Grisham, but for him to duplicate the season he had, and I know he fits that park, but to duplicate the season he had last year, that's a very lofty expectation for
you
him.
You are what your baseball card says
correct.
You are.
Correct. He's more likely to go back to what he was than to sustain this, especially when you consider he's, what, in his upper 20s at this point? So to start your career and break out your career. We've seen it. You know, guys like Raul Ibanez was even older, but still, it's likely that he goes backwards more likely than it is that he has the year that he had last year.
And honestly, last thing, I think Volpe deserves a chance to develop. Like, Bernie Williams didn't break into the Yankees and was Bernie Williams.
Sure.
It took him 4 years to get there.
Yep.
Like, these guys do deserve a chance to get better.
Yes.
But, you know, it's like, if he's going to be a centerpiece, you can't develop and be a centerpiece at the same time.
Correct. And I just think he's in that situation right now where he needs, it's not even so much a dose of reality, but I don't think you're doing him any service by handing him the reins. Now, that remains to be seen. I feel like that question has been brought up. I know McMonagle asked Boone about it, and the answer that Boone gave was telling because it was very much like not a given that they would hand the reins to Volpe. But I know Cashman, early on in the offseason, kind of said they're going to hold the fort down for Volpe, which would imply he gets the job as soon as he's healthy. Manager, in theory, has control over decisions like that, but now we're going back to perception. Does Cashman tell Boone to play him at shortstop? Time will tell. Like, we're going to see this play out. Whenever Volpe is back, if Caballero is struggling, that certainly helps the move to Volpe because then there will be, all right, you know, he's struggling. I get it. But if Caballero is giving you a spark and he's getting on base and he's stealing bases and they bench him for Volpe and Volpe expectedly so will struggle. He's coming off an injury. It probably will take time for him to get going. Plus, you're coming off last year, which was a total and utter nightmare for him. It could get ugly quick. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Vinny is in Staten Island. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, Luigi. What's going on, man?
What's up?
So, listen, this offseason wasn't the greatest offseason as far as free agents.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, Schwarber's out there, but he's a DH. We have Stanton.
Right.
The Bellinger move was the only move we had to make because he was there for our outfielder. We really didn't need pitching because we got Schlittler, Rendon when he's healthy.
Yep.
Cole's coming back. Yeah, free. You know, we really didn't need, bullpen because we picked up two guys in the trade market, Bednar and Duvall. So this year's free agency wasn't that great of a class for us to go out and spend money. Plus, the lockout is the biggest key because I think Hal is sick and tired of basically going over the luxury tax,
right, exactly,
paying all these fees to the teams that are not spending, because it's like basically saying, hey, Tommy, I'm giving you $50 because I technically went over the long,
like, yeah, it would be like if I was cheap and you weren't, and then you had to hand me $50 because of my cheapness because you're spending money for whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that's really exactly what we're looking at, which is why I think Hal wants kind of that floor where it forces teams to actually have to spend to a certain limit. You know what I mean? Not a salary cap you can't go over a certain threshold, but a floor where if you're under that, then it's a problem.
Right, and the fact that, again, you know, we also, DJ LeMahieu's money is still on the books for another year. I think Hicks came off the books. Like, they have a lot of factors, but the main thing was no good free agents this year, and they're limited to what they could,
Just to be a devil's advocate here, Vinny, when you say the Yankees, when he said they didn't need to do this, they didn't need to do that, did the Dodgers need to sign Tucker?
But the Dodgers are the Dodgers, and the fact that, you know, they were making moves to, like, there was talks of trading Chaz to possibly bring in Bichette. It was like addition by subtraction.
Correct.
That's what the Dodgers are trying to do. I think they're still paying Teoscar Hernandez, or they were still paying Michael Conforto. You know, like, stuff like that. So the Yankees, in that situation, yeah, they wanted to spend money, but they didn't want to add to the payroll of a Kyle Tucker. They weren't going $60 million for Kyle Tucker because they could have done that with Juan Soto last year, but they didn't do that. So could they went after Diaz for the money he was making? Sure.
Right.
But they didn't go after him.
Yeah, and that's kind of my point, Vinny, is that they could have went after Diaz. They could have went after Tucker. They could have went after Bichette. They could have traded for Peralta. There were moves they could have made. And when I look around the East, Orioles improved, Red Sox improved. Okay, Blue Jays are going to probably take a step back, especially losing Bichette. And you have a magical year like that where you're runner-up and you have that gut-punching loss where you have the Dodgers on the rope, back-to-back games, 6 and 7, and you don't get it done. You would think that there would be some slight regression the next year. I'm not saying Tampa's going to win the division, but I expect them to be better back at the Trop, which it's a dump, but it's their dump, and it's a home field advantage for them. So I think the division overall, there's not going to be any easy opponents. So it's going to be wide open. And the Yankees are comfortable with the roster that they have, especially with the moves they made at the deadline. And I'm sure in the back of their minds, although you probably shouldn't think like this, but they probably figure Toronto takes a step back as well, and Baltimore and Boston don't have enough to catch us. So if we just run it back, we should win the division, put ourselves in the driver's seat. We're not scared of a team like Seattle. We're not scared of a team like Detroit. Not saying that's the way they're thinking, but based on the way they've acted, there feels like a acceptingness of that last year's team is good enough to get back to the World Series. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Jake is in Rhode Island. What's up, Jake?
Hey, Tommy. I just wanted to know, like, a couple things real quick. So, like, about the Yankees, I did call about Volpe, but about the Yankees offseason, like, we're sitting here talking, like, the Yankees are in this world of trouble every night on this show, and they just came off a 94-win season. They just got rid of a closer that blew about 14 games for them last year.
Yeah, but yesterday I said they were going to win. I said they were going to win the division and win 92 games.
But we're all calling in like the world's falling apart. That's exactly what we're worried about Anthony Volpe when you just said the other night that Mark Vientos is due for a breakout year.
Okay, so let me get this straight, Jake. I'm not allowed to have opinions. Is that what you're telling me? I'll tell you what, Jake. I'll give you my email. You write out the opinions you'd like me to have, and then I'll just present those opinions because I can't give an opinion on one thing and an opinion on another. You don't like that? I told you the Yankees are going to win the division and win 92 games.
You're coming off bias. You're ripping the Yankees every night.
Where did I rip the Yankees in the last 20 minutes? I didn't say anything bad. I said that they are as good as any team in the division. They are going to win 90-something games, which is usually a given. But I wouldn't put Volpe in a situation where he is set up to fail. What's wrong with saying that?
How is Caballero?
And I can't say
option?
That Mark Vientos is going to have a good year. You know what, Jake? I got a good one. This is what I'll do. Hi, it's After Hours. Tommy Lugauer on the Fan. You know who's going to have a monster year? Juan Soto. What the hell are we doing here? If I'm not going to go out on a limb and get predictions, like I could just sit here and say, well, Juan Soto's going to be great. Whoa. Aaron Judge is going to be great. The Dodgers are going to win the World Series.
You're
and then I'll bore the audience to death.
You're giving Vientos love.
I'll bore the audience to death.
Everything.
I've been consistent with Vientos.
Vientos hasn't done a thing.
No, that's not true. That's not true. He was one of their best players. So you just said he didn't do a thing. Well, you did. He's done more than Volpe. You just told me he didn't do anything. You just told me he didn't do anything, and then you're going to tell me he had 1 year. Where he was one of the best hitters on a team that went to the NLCS.
Has he won a gold glove? Anthony Volpe is a great young shortstop who had a bad year.
I'm not ripping him. No. You're hearing Tommy's voice, so you think Tommy hates the Yankees, so anything I say, you misinterpret.
You just made fun of Brian Cashman.
I didn't rip. What?
You just ripped
No, a week ago, I said he showed up in his pajamas. He did, though. That's fine. He looked like he was about to play poker. But I wasn't the only one that did that. Morass did it. He's a Yankee fan. Did you go yell at Sean? Did you say Sean is a Yankee hater? No, you said I am.
Everything we talk about on WFAN Yankees is
not true.
Negative.
Really?
Negative.
The last hour, you had McMonagle glaze in the Yankees. So what are you talking about? I've literally said they're going to win the division and 90-something games. I said I don't want to put Anthony Volpe in a tough spot because I want him to have a good Yankee career. I made a joke that Cashman showed up in his pajamas. So did half the internet. What's the big deal? I can't say Mark Vientos is going to have a big year, that you have a problem with that? I'm not allowed to say that? I can't say anything positive about the Mets anymore in your mind.
You never say anything positive about the Yankees. Saying the Yankees are going to win 92 games and win the division is even an insult in itself.
So what would you like me to say? Jake, I'll do a Baba Booey and repeat after you. Say something that you want me to say on the air about the Yankees positive. I'll literally repeat it. That's fine. What do you want me to say positive about them? Go ahead.
All right. I'm just saying, every night with you, it's negative Yankees.
Go ahead and tell me.
You want
Met tears so you can drink them. Yeah, that's what you want.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I
don't know about a question.
You said Aaron Judge has to move to first base. If he gets hurt, the Yankees are screwed. Where was that with Soto? So what? The Mets going to be in great shape when Soto goes down? Is that what the case is?
What? Think about what you're saying right now.
Think about what you're saying.
I said
everything
to
you put
keep
out is negative.
Aaron Judge healthy, I would move him to first base. Because he goes down, you're in trouble. Obviously, if Juan Soto goes down, the Mets are in trouble. If Ohtani goes down, the Dodgers are at least a little bit in trouble. If Bryce Harper goes down, the Phillies are in trouble. What are you saying? Soto moved to left. That's why I brought it up. Do I have to spell everything out? Jake, do we have to have a pre-show meeting to go over everything for you? Do I have to ABC it for you?
How about you show some respect to the best franchise in New York
sports? I call them on a nightly basis the best franchise in the history of sports. That's what I do nightly. Nightly I call them that. Yes, I do. Yes, Jake, since you listen to every single word I say on the radio, every night I say they're the best franchise in sports. And that's why I hold them to the standard.
You don't hold them to the standards.
You're happy with 90 wins and getting bounced in the wild card. Now this is the part where you say the Mets haven't won in 40 years. So go ahead. Now tell me the Mets haven't won in 40 years. That's going
to
be your comeback. That's
going to
be your comeback. That's going to be your comeback. Great. You lost, though. When's the last time you won a World Series?
They were there. And last year, if we don't have Devin Williams in our bullpen, we win the division and we have home field advantage.
Okay, but
so I don't know what you're talking about.
Right, but you didn't, and you lost in the divisional round. What have I said that has been inaccurate over the last 2 months?
What?
What have I said over the last, 3 months that has been unfair towards the Yankees?
You say something every night unfair.
Give me an example. Moving Aaron Judge to first base to keep him healthy. That is being unfair?
Realistic. Where have you ever read or seen Aaron Judge taking...
Oh, Jake, let me explain the business to you. If I come on the radio and repeat stuff that's out there, I'm a hack. You have to come up with your own thoughts. That's how you get to where I am.
So you just come up with Yankees bullshit.
All right, yeah, you dumped you. Did we get him there, Connor? I hit the button. No, see, you had a curse to end that. No. I don't come up with BS. I come up with my own thoughts. If you want somebody to just regurgitate things that are going out there, then I'll do that too. Like I said, Jake, send me what you want before the show, and I'll regurgitate it. Hi, this is Tommy Lugauer. I'd just like to say that the Yankees are going to win 97 games. Everything is totally fine. Aaron Judge will hit 75 home runs. Anthony Volpe will not strike out any point this season. Connor, my dump button's not on, but I assume we're good there. Yeah, it wasn't. I thought we might have already been naked. Yeah, and he even laughed too, which he got. He knows. I can't make a joke that Brian Cashman showed up in his pajamas to spring training. A couple nights in a row here, these calls right out of the gate we've been firing. Yeah, it's part of the job to come up with opinions. If you don't like them, that's, I don't know what to tell you, but I can't say Mark Vientos is going to have a breakout campaign, and I think it's would be prudent for the Yankees to move Judge over to first base. All you have to say is, Tommy, disagree, how about DH? I'd go, all right, yeah, that makes sense too, because obviously you're less likely to get hurt as a DH. And then when I say, oh, they're going to win 90-something games in the division, well, that's so I don't know what you want me to say. I always call them the greatest franchise in the history of sports. Constantly. I hold them to the highest of standards. Did you ever think that? Do you ever think when I'm being critical, that's why I'm being critical? Because I hold them to a standard that they have not met in quite some time? If you've lowered your standards, cool. But I'm not going to lower mine just because you want me to. And if I have to explain positive Tommy in the Mets, I will. We could have a whole seminar on that. I've explained that one 8 million times. Maybe, just maybe, Jake, because I do know that this is kind of a thing. Just maybe Yankee fans want positive Tommy on their side. Maybe that's what this is about. Maybe you have positive Tommy envy. Never thought of that. Interesting. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Kyle in Flushing. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, Lugie, what up?
Hey, what's up?
Yo, I really respect the passion right there. That was some fire. Just got to remember that there's a reason why you're on that end of the glass.
Well, it's not even about that. I said some things or whatever in the heat of passion, I suppose. But I come on the air, I give my thoughts, I give my takes, I give my opinions. I try to be fair as humanly possible. I try to be entertaining. It just drives me nuts when people are like, well, you say this, you say that. It's like, this is my show, so I'm going to do what I do. I just, it's whatever. And obviously he's listening to every single word I'm saying because he's talking about takes I had, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I just want to know if that offer for sending an email for a script for the air, if I can get in on that too.
Absolutely. You want to get involved in the show meeting? You could kind of set up. We could go over some thoughts, some opinions, some takes, and I'll just regurgitate them on the air. That's what I'll do. I won't have my own brain.
Perfect.
I'll just have the caller's brains or the listener's brains, and then I'll just do a five-hour show. This is what Kyle thinks. This is what Jake thinks.
All right, perfect. All right, yeah. We'll be in touch.
You got it, brother.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, of course.
Have a good one.
Thanks, dude. And on the thing, he says he thinks I'm being fair to the Yankees, which would have been nice if he put that on the record. I needed him to say, hi, I'm Kyle. I'm a Yankee fan. You've been fair. Every single player and every single part of that organization has been asked about the Yankees running it back. I've been critical about that. So I'm not, excuse me, I have not been pulling stuff out of thin air. Did the Yankees win the World Series last year? They did not. Were they good enough last year? They were not. Are they running back that same team? Yes. Is Cole enough to get them to the World Series? Time will tell. And you know what the best part of all of this is? If I'm wrong, I'll be here. And I will take your calls all night, and you could throw it right back in my face. I will not run and hide. I will not skip the podium. Unless, of course, I have like vacation days or something like that or whatever. The train breaks down. Then you can go yell at someone else. But you know what I mean? Like, I'll be here. It's all good. And you could fight and call me up. But when we curse, guys, that's where we have to pull the ripcord. Now, luckily, we were probably near the end anyway with that conversation. But I got a little out of order myself. I always feel that way, too. Like, I'm passionate. I yell, and then I always kind of feel like, did I go too far? But, you know, come on. Like I said, you could just email me and give me some of your thoughts, some of the things you want me to say. And I'll be a puppet up here. This is what I think. I'll be like Brian Duker, AI, the defensive coordinator for the Jets. You can just type into the computer and I'll just say whatever. It'll be AI positive Tommy. They call me artificial intelligence Tommy. That'll be the new nickname. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Mike in Clifton Park. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Tommy.
Hey.
So I have two negative things to say about the Yankees, if you don't mind.
Of course, yeah.
So, okay, thank you. Negative point number one, I think the Yankees should change their name to the New York blank, fill in the blank, teasers, giving Yankee fans blue balls for over a decade.
Yeah, I don't know if we could say that, but okay, go ahead, Mike. I heard it, so that's good.
Okay, and point number two, C-Mac was on the Mets players about bringing in their bags from different teams.
Yeah, you know, Simeon, a Ranger bag, and then Luke Weaver brought in a Yankee bag. Yep.
Yep. And C-Mac was like, I can't believe they made the same mistake, the players. But I would say, isn't Brian Cashman making the same mistake by running it back again with the same team? And I think...
Well, I think those are it's apples and oranges there. My whole thing on the bag situation, or bag gate, or whatever you want to call it, with Weaver and then with Simeon, I'm not saying the Yankees and Rangers should ask for their bags back, because I don't think they reuse the bags, obviously. My question to Luke or to Marcus or to any baseball player, you've been playing the sport your entire life. You don't have any other bags? You don't have like a neutral color bag to bring to spring training? What if Brian Cashman, or what if the Rangers asked Simeon and the Yankees asked for Weaver for the bag back? Would they say, oh, well, you can't have the bag back, then I'd have no baseball bag, even though I'm a professional baseball player. Shouldn't professional baseball players have plenty of bags lying around? Like, don't professional golfers have more than just one set of clubs and one bag that they have? What if the bag gets lost? Then what do you do as a backup? You carry everything? Connor, you missed some of the early blow-ups that we had this week, but I've gone off on a bunch of calls. I'm screaming and yelling here at 7 o'clock. I've blown a couple gaskets. I'm a little on edge. I've said that. I'm a little on edge with the cat. I'm a little on edge with the snow. I'm going to Beverly Hills this weekend. I'm worried about getting home Monday night to do the show. So I'm a little bit on edge. I will admit that. But definitely two out of the last three shows, we've been coming in hot early. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's after hours. It's Positive Tommy here in prime time. We'll get to the lockout stuff. The reason why, not avoiding it, but this is my feeling on it. I'll try to do the best analogy I can. Let's say we're all going on a bachelor party to Vegas. Doesn't have to be our bachelor party. It's probably better if it's not our bachelor party. So we're all going to a bachelor party in Vegas. We're going for not one night, not two nights, not three nights, four nights. Getting there Thursday early, leaving Monday morning. Okay. We're all very excited for it. We can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wednesday, when we get back, we have to go to the dentist, right? Why would we be discussing the dentist appointment before we get into the bachelor party? When we get back from the bachelor party, then we can discuss it. You know, like, I want to have the season. I'm excited for the season. That's just my viewpoint. That's just how I interpret it. Like, we're going to have plenty of time to talk about the lockout when, I don't know, their teams and the sport is locked out. And I understand the whole situation with Tony Clark obviously added a lot to the story. And I will talk about it to a degree, but my energy and my focus is on this season. As we just saw there, the passion that came out between me and Jake, the passion of baseball, which we have. We have the bachelor party. We're going for six nights now. I just bumped it up a couple extra nights. We got comped a free night. Two free nights. So let's not talk about the dentist. We'll talk about the dentist on the flight home, which is just the worst. I mean, the flight home from Vegas is a lot of broken dreams. I don't care what went on during that trip, and thankfully it stays in Vegas, but you could have had the time of your life both in and out of the casino, and you fly home from there, it absolutely sucks. Number one, you tack on the 3 hours. That alone is a kick to the goyuns. I mean, that just is the worst. I have literally been in, I know it used to be called McCarran. I that's not the name of the airport anymore in Vegas. But I have been in the Vegas airport, and there was a group of girls, presumably partying all weekend, because it was one of those like Sunday night or Monday night, you know, red eyes. So they were probably there all weekend. They were on the same trajectory that I was. And they were literally in like sleeping bags across the floor, sleeping, getting ready to go on the flight. Another time I was out there for my buddy's bachelor party, it was when EDC, which is the Electric Daisy Carnival. So it's a big EDM festival that they do out there every, I would say like mid-late June. And it's on the race track that they have out there. So it's not on the strip, but it's a little bit off the beaten path. But it's a huge weekend in Vegas. All the big DJs are there. They're at all the clubs and pool parties. So I'm taking a red eye. Mind you, I'm taking a red eye Monday into Tuesday. EDC Vegas ended Sunday night, like 4 or 5 a.m., okay? Something like that. Sunday night or into Monday morning. So Monday morning, 5 a.m. This is a flight Monday at midnight, okay? Following the bouncing ball. I'm online to get through security. And this girl runs up, still in her gear from EDC. Little Bo Peep lost her sheep. She had none of her friends with her. And I'm thinking to myself, this girl must have passed out for the last 13 hours, woke up.
And, viva Las Vegas.
And made a beeline for the airport. She was legit still in her gear from EDC. How do I know that? Because I know what the gear looks like that people wear. And I was like, and she's like cutting people. I'm like, this isn't the line to the club. You can't be cutting people.
Viva Las Vegas.
This can't be like where girls, where they sneak in a boy's bathroom. There's got to be rules and regulations to this. And I'm just as late as you are. Clearly, I'm online. I'm trying to get on the red-eye flight. That girl sat maybe one or two, so like across from me on the aisle, but like one back. I don't even think she hit the seat and she passed out. So I'm like, you know. But that's Vegas. The flight home is just absolutely.
Viva Las Vegas.
Anyway, what a 47 minutes to start the show. You never know here on After Hours. It comes in hot, as it does. And it goes out great, too, because we have Ask Tommy Anything coming up at, we're going to say like 10 o'clock tonight. We'll play it by ear, but let's plan for 10. Let's plan for 10. This is your
Ask Tommy Anything.
Thank you. No need for your applause. This is your one opportunity all week to ask me whatever you want. Could be, well, you could ask sports, but you could always ask me sports. So life, music, movies, you know, the things I like to talk about or whatever's on your mind. My career, the business, anything, radio, the whole nine. That's coming up at 10 o'clock. Your calls, I see everybody lined up. We'll get back to those calls. We'll mix in a little bit of the lockout stuff. And there'll be some football as well. I mean, I threw out a trade proposal last night, and everybody down in Philadelphia is losing their minds. We'll discuss that as well. 888-808-1, and it had to do with the Giants and Eagles, of course. That's why Philly's losing their mind. The phone number, 888-808-1019. It's After Hours. Loogie, Positive Tommy, here in primetime.
Loogie!
It is Positive Tommy here in primetime. This fan focus is sponsored by Chef IQ, precision cooking, effortless results, chefiq.com. We do have breaking news in baseball. This is according to Jeff Passan. Bruce Meyer has been unanimously elected as executive director of the MLB Players Association. Sources tell ESPN and Jeff Passan. Meyer, who was previously the number two at the union, becomes the sixth executive director in the union's history. Meyer's election by the 72 players on the union executive board is in an interim capacity, sources say, to Jeff Passan. Meyer will remain in charge of collective bargaining negotiations for the union as the December 1 expiration of the CBA approaches. Off of that, let me just say this. There should be no salary cap in baseball. That's just my take on it. The Dodgers do what they do. The Mets do what they do. The Yankees have done what they've done forever. There should not be a limit. If these other teams don't want to spend, that's their problem. Who wouldn't want an owner like Steve Cohen? Who wouldn't want to be a Yankee fan with the Steinbrenners have built, which is this, and if you're listening, Jake, the greatest franchise in the history of sports? Who wouldn't want what the Dodgers are doing? Back-to-back champs, signing Diaz, signing Tucker. If you're a sports fan, you dream about that from your team and their ownership. And now we're going to take that away because such and such team doesn't want to spend. They don't want to put their resources into the team. They'd rather put it in their pocket. I don't know what's waiting after our season, or as I like to call it, our six-day bender bachelor party in Vegas. And I referenced the lockout as it's more than a dentist visit, but hopefully it is just a dentist visit and we miss a couple games, because let's be real. I mean, it's cold out early in the year. Don't have to miss a lot, but I mean, you know, if you miss a couple. You have a more likelihood of positive Tommy going to game if the season starts May, you know. Don't want to miss any games, but it's a lot warmer in May. It's freezing outside right now. Worried about the snow or the rain or the wind or whatever's supposed to hit here. I'm going to be in Beverly Hills. I'm being a great nephew. I'm a Tio. I have to do right by my only nephew. I don't have any siblings. My wife has the one sister. We have one nephew. He's turning one. So I am going to see my in-laws in Beverly Hills. I will be back Monday night for the show, but there's some iffy weather coming Sunday or Monday.
Snowblower.
Well, that's not going to help, Mike, because a snowblower at JFK, they probably have better than just snowblowers, right?
Window thrower.
Well, I don't know about that either, but they better have, you know, big snowplows, because Positive Tommy must land safely and must do his show 7 o'clock to yell and scream at the callers in the first segment. Plus, we have, I mean, it's not officially scheduled, but I would imagine Monday night is a good opportunity for the encore presentation of our new hit segment, Settle the Debate, better known as STD.
Loogie!
Although something about that title, I'm not sure. Maybe Settling the Debate, that probably sounds a little bit better. But STD absolutely hits. And then, of course, we have Ask Tommy Anything tonight at, we'll call it 10 p.m. And it's your opportunity to ask me anything. Whatever you want. Oh, by the way, if you're not wondering what I'm talking about, or are wondering what I'm talking about, I should say, Settle the Debate was the segment we did a couple days ago, and we will do it again next week. It's your opportunity. Yeah, it's your opportunity to present a great debate. It could be sports, it could be music, it could be movies, it could be television. And we here at After Hours will try to settle it. So, you know, Bird Magic, LeBron Jordan, Otani Judge, those are some of the sports ones. Backstreet Boys are NSYNC. Have we ever figured that one out? Now, I'm more of a Backstreet Boys guy, but was there ever a winner declared? Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera? To me, Seinfeld versus any TV show, it's going to be Seinfeld, but you could still ask me about TV shows. But that's sort of the feel of it, and it was just rave reviews. I'm told everybody was very happy with it. So that settled the debate, STD, but that's going to be next week. Tonight is Ask Tommy Anything, which I guess would be ATA. I'm trying to come up with a word that is more alliteration. Ask Tommy Anything is more of a holding, because Tommy needs to have another T. We need like three T's. You know what I mean? So T. So
Tommy!
If you guys are smarter than me, which is not hard, I'm just not, but if you want to hit me up on Twitter, at Tommy Lugauer, Lugauer, we'll come up with a different name, because I want something with a little bit more. I got to have that cowbell, and I need a little bit more alliteration on that bad boy. 888-8, but STDs, gold. It's gold.
Tommy!
888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. A lot of Yankee stuff here. If you missed it, you can go back on the app, the Odyssey app. It's free. The rewind function. Got into it with a caller around 728, but I opened up the show I thought being extremely fair to Anthony Volpe, I don't think he should be thrusted back into the starting role with the Yankees. Caballero, to me, should be the guy, and Volpe, what is best for him is to fight for that job, especially coming off the year that he had last year. And he has gone backwards in his first couple of years. Each year, the numbers are going down and down, especially batting average, his approach at the plate, his defense. And if you continue to put him out there like that, especially if there's this perception that he's the golden child, the golden boy, it's not going to do him any favors. So I would ease it back slowly. Plus, you figure he's going to struggle coming back from an injury and a nightmare season. That's a very difficult position you'd be putting him in. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to, where do we want to go here? Let's go to Sam in Rockland. What's up, Sammy?
How you doing, Tommy? Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
So I want to talk about the Yankees for a minute.
Absolutely.
My question is this. So first, I want to ask you a question. Last season,
yeah,
if Bellinger, Chisholm, and Fried performed in the postseason the way they did in the regular season, do you think they could have beat Toronto and then Seattle?
I don't think they were going to get past Toronto. I think Toronto was sort of that team that was on a mission, and in any other year they would have won the World Series. They ran into the Dodgers, and they had them on the ropes twice, but I don't think the Yankees were getting around Toronto last year. So, no, to answer your question.
So let me get to my next question, which is, if Fried, Chisholm, Bellinger, et cetera, perform in the postseason the way that they do and they did in the regular season, can they win a World Series this year?
Let me ask you a question. What type of performance are we getting from Aaron Judge?
It's hard to ask him to do what he did last year in the postseason.
He's got
to
do more. He's got to do more than that, I think.
Hit more than 500?
Yeah, forget the average. He's got to have more impactful hits than he did in the postseason last year. He's got to have performances and moments where he wrecks games, much like Vlad Jr. did. Like just the way they're set up, I think Judge has to be that guy. And then if the other players that you mentioned produce, absolutely.
Okay, so let's say Judge hits his 330 average.
Yep.
His home runs,
correct.
His OPS.
Yep, doubles, yep, all that stuff. Yep,
which
exactly.
Is interesting. I mean, it's insane to think that that's what we expect of him, but yeah.
But he hasn't always done it. He hasn't always done it. And he was good in the postseason last year.
Right.
Yeah, he was good, but he wasn't exceptional, where like Vlad Jr. in that series was exceptional. But that's what you need from Judge, especially if you're not going to get anything from the other players on the team. You can't always count on Stanton to carry you.
Right. So if he is himself in the regular season, which he is, I would say he's clutch in the regular season. I don't know.
Oh, Aaron Judge? Oh, yeah, no. Aaron Judge is as good as it gets as far as his regular season performances. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Right. So if he does what he does on the supporting cast,
correct,
does what they did in the regular season last year, do they have a good team talent-wise to go to the World Series?
Go to the World Series? Yes.
Of course. Well,
yes.
But,
yes.
I mean, get past it. Obviously.
Yeah, I think a couple of other interesting questions. I'm trying to be fair here. Bednar, big spot. Obviously, he was on the team last year. I still say there's some question marks. It's not, you know, Mariano, and no one is, but it's not one of those situations where you just pencil in the back end of the bullpen. I know when he got there, it was better than with Weaver and with Williams. He would still be a question mark. I still think there are some questions for some of the performances in the postseason from guys like Max Fried. But yes, to answer your question, if Judge is the man talent-wise, yes, they get to the World Series.
Even with having Ryan McMahon at third?
Yeah, because he's great defensively, and even if he hits 220, you hope he pops a home run or two, and he's always a vacuum over there, so you're going to be strong at third base defensively. And if everybody else picks up their end of the, you know, their slack offensively, they can live with him because he's so great defensively. Think about how many runs he will save at third base.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Appreciate you taking my
call. Absolutely. Look, there's a reason why the Yankees are favored to get to the World Series every year, because they always have the talent. But when they get to October, see, the things that the odds makers or people that set the favorites, what you can't factor in, and first of all, they give these odds because they don't want to be put in a bad situation with the Yankees. So they can never make the Yankees, you know, 12-1 to get to the World Series. They have to be the favorites because they're the Yankees. They're consistently right there. The postseason performances, and it starts with Judge. Will they be there. You can count on it in the regular season. And the caller that I got into it with last hour, by the way, agrees with me. That's the best part, because when he said, well, you just given them 92 wins in a division, that's nothing. Yeah, because you're right. That's what they kind of, it's not that I'm not giving them anything, but you agree with me that you are skeptical of this team in October. With good reason. Because they still haven't proven they can win a World Series in the Aaron's era with Boone and Judge. And I'm sorry, if Juan Soto was on the Pirates, I would still say this. So let me be as crystal clear as humanly possible before I say this. I'll throw 16 disclaimers in. If Juan Soto was back on the Nationals, if Juan Soto was on the Braves, if Juan Soto was on the Dodgers, if Juan Soto wasn't a Met, I would still say this. Judge has only gone to the World Series with Soto as his teammate. Okay, everybody good? Take a deep breath. Get back onto the road. I know you just drove off it. You're writing something bad about me on Twitter. Take a deep breath. That's a fact. And I would say it no matter what team Juan Soto was playing on right now. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to... I don't want to go here. Let's go to Pete in Jersey City. What's up, Pete?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey. Really quick on Grisham and Vientos.
Yeah.
Grisham, the only reason I'm a Yankee fan, I was kind of annoyed that they brought him back, because I do want to see what Dominguez could do with a full season, 500 at-bats, and maybe getting some starts in center field. But the thing, the people are just saying he's not going to have the same season, and who knows. But the three things I think that are factoring in why he could is, you know, now he's on another contract year, and he's still playing in the stadium, and he's still going to be protected by Aaron Judge most of the time. So I feel like those three things, you're going to run into a lot of fastballs. I'd like to see his BA get up a little higher, but I think he was around 240 last year or something like that. But I think it's possible for him to have a similar year. Maybe not as many home runs, mm-hmm. but on that level. I don't think he's going to go back to being like a 14-home-run guy, you know, and like he was in San Diego or wherever he was.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that. But
okay.
Regarding Vientos, as a
fair viewpoint to have.
That's the only way I feel there. But with Vientos, I just feel like, I know Mets fans, they want their guy to come out. They want him to have a breakthrough year. But you look at his numbers, man. Like, yeah, he had that really great three-month stretch or whatever it was. But the rest of his career, like, his OBP is well below 300, man, which is, like, backup catcher territory. His OPS isn't great. I know you want him to be that guy. Like, you know, last year he was a guy that was going to protect Soto, and, you know, mm-hmm. they had a crazy lineup. At some point, maybe this will be the last chance. At some point, you got to say, all right, maybe he's not the guy that we thought he was going to be. Maybe he could be a power guy off the bench or whatever it is. But I just don't see the fascination. I guess it's the way he played in the playoffs and that home run.
Yeah, that certainly has a lot to do with it. Because that, to me, is sort of the ceiling of him as a player. And I think the Mets didn't do him any favors. They kind of jerked him around in the first couple of years. But he really blossomed in that moment. And he showed me a clutch gene and obviously a good power stroke. And I know there's a concern amongst some Met fans. How are they going to replace the power left by the void of Pete Alonso? So that's one of the reasons why I kind of anointed Mark Vientos to be that guy to...
I mean, that would be the answer.
Come close to what Pete did. Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I said what I said, and I made that clear the other night when I made the point.
I think they're going to take a little power hit as a team, not just because of Pete, but in general. Maybe not a significant one, but I think they'll go down in home runs a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't know if it was your show or another show on the Fan, but someone was talking about, like, Castellanos, and they were like, oh, we can't bring Castellanos because it'll take, you know, at-bats away from Vientos. I mean, I know Castellanos didn't have a great year, but he's a guy that could bring in power, and he could...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I think I don't think they're bringing him in anyway, but...
No, I think he signed with the Padres, but he's horrible defensively. And I don't want to utter the word that starts with a R and then the other word is a P. Not because I'm against it with the Mets. I just think it's one of those things where, if you say, I'll just say the word. If you say run prevention, if you go into a bar with a bunch of sports fans and you utter the words run prevention, you're going to get a swirly. You can get beat up for saying something like that. You could get beat up for wearing something like that. So I don't want to use that on the show. Run prevention or AAV. Come on. But Castellanos is not a good defensive player, and you wonder with his sort of the way it ended there in Philly. Maybe it just needed a change of scenery. I don't know, but I think the vibes are good right now with the Mets. It's early, but I think the vibes are good. And I wouldn't want to mess with those vibes, because unless I knew the guy I was bringing in was going to enhance them. even more. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Matt in Middletown. It's After Hours, Positive Tommy here in prime time. Matt, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up that guy Jake from Rhode Island. It seems that he's been calling in a lot this week. And he even got in through Evan and Tiki, and he really got under Evan's skin.
Really?
This might as well be the Jake show, because this guy's been calling in all week with really, really great takes, and he's got a lot of energy out of you and out of Evan. And I think anytime that guy calls, you got to get him on there. I mean,
well, I love that stuff. I'll just be full disclosure here. I sometimes feel like when we get into those type of fights, I don't want to scare a caller off, because I love that. Now, the entire 5 hours can't be that, but at least the way I grew up, Matt, that's the way we would discuss things at a dinner table, is by screaming at each other. And I love that stuff. So I wouldn't say I encourage it like all night, but once a night, once every other night, yeah, that's the passion we're looking for, whether it brings it out of me, brings it out of Evan, brings it out of the caller. It's good stuff.
Well, he's living rent-free in your head. I mean, that's for sure. You know, he really, really got under your skin.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's living rent-free, but I think that's...
I'm a Mets fan,
yeah,
and I agree with what he's saying. You know, you kind of tend to go against the Yankees and say a lot of things, and it's not good for us Mets fans, because, listen, hey, I think you were the one that coined the term little brother, and I don't think anybody in New York ever says that.
People haven't gotten over that. People haven't gotten over that. People are still not digesting that claim. It's obviously still wearing on people.
The station is a lot of sound bites. It seems like you guys don't really know ball, and you just try to get a reaction out of people.
Matt, yeah. I really don't. I don't know why you're taking a turn here to take shots. I mean, you started off good, but now you're starting to take shots.
Tommy, don't get soft on me now. This is New York.
I'm not getting soft, but I'm in
Jersey.
I promise that the guy is not living rent free in my head. That I would say.
You mentioned him like 10 different times.
Well, because it's part of the...
He's definitely living rent-free in your head.
Okay.
And if you're not careful, a guy like Jake is going to take over WFAN and New York Sports Radio.
Okay. Are you buddies with him?
So, I don't really know him, but when I listen to him, I kind of want to be buddies with the guy.
Okay. All right. I don't know what to tell you.
Like he's the epitome of real New York sports and New York talk, and you guys are just getting softer and softer by the day.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. It's all good, bro. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Neil in the Bronx. What's up, Neil?
Hey, what's up, my man? Getting back to Volpe.
Yep.
I believe this season is do or die for him, because the Yankees can't keep digging into bag of excuses or why he isn't getting better and why he keeps regressing.
So
there's got to be a do-or-die season for him.
He
has to perform.
He does, and that's why I think you got to put him in the best situation to perform, you know what I mean, to put the best out there. And I think throwing him into the starting role right out of the gate is not the best form of attack.
I agree. And two, as good as he is, Aaron Judge, and he is fantastic. He put up incredible numbers. Mm-hmm. How would he be looked at as a Yankee, knowing they stand the World Series buzz, if he retires without a World Series ring? How would he be looked at and talked about as a Yankee? It's always going to be, Aaron Judge had great numbers, but
yep,
he never won the World Series. That but is always going to be behind him, no point intended.
No, absolutely, Neil. If he played on a different team, perhaps not. But when you're a Yankee, especially a Yankee great, and you don't win a championship, you know, fair or not, you're going to get compared to the legendary players that have played with the Yankees and have won, not one, but multiple championships. So as great as Judge is as a regular season player, he can win all the MVPs, he can hit all the home runs. If he doesn't win a championship, he will not be remembered as fondly if he had won, let's say, two or three. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the standard that a lot of Yankee fans have for this team, and they will look at this run as a postseason failure. Not a failure overall, but just in October, it was a failure because he had a long stretch. He is a world player, but didn't win the big one.
Well, let's hope he doesn't end his career without winning one or maybe two. I just hope that doesn't happen to such a great Yankee as him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's why he said some of the things, at least my interpretation this week, that he was upset with this offseason. Because he's in the prime of his career. He's going to turn 34. And his legacy is on the line probably more than anybody else on this team. including Cashman, including Boone. Like, it's going to be remembered for Aaron Judge and what Aaron Judge did or did not do and what this team did or did not do in as far as terms of winning a championship. So it's a must as far as I'm concerned. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Andy in Mattawan, New Jersey. What's up, Andy?
Hey, Tommy. Love your energy and that little duel you had with that guy, Jake.
Well, thank you.
It was very entertaining.
Well, thank you.
Keep it up, man. I love that.
Appreciate it.
So two things. One, I have a question for you, but first, a comment on the salary cap in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my gut here is that you need something like a cap eventually. Otherwise, you're creating a situation with the Globetrotters against the Washington Generals. It's the haves and the have-nots.
Right.
You need parity in baseball. You got to find a way to manage the dollars to make that happen.
To me, baseball has been thriving with this concept, and now all of a sudden we have to change things because the Dodgers kind of found a little bit of a cheat code. Look, Ohtani took deferred money. Not every superstar is going to do that. They are in a unique situation. The Mets spend, the Phillies spend, the Yankees spend. If other teams don't want to spend, I just think that's on them. I don't understand why other teams have to sort of punch down. Those other teams should be looking to punch up and get on the level of not. And if they can't, as far as spending money, then there's other ways, and we've seen it. Like, it's not like all the teams that spend the most money, Andy, are the teams that win every year or have successful franchises. I mean, the Rays did make the World Series. The A's, okay, they didn't win the big one, but with no resources, did very well in those sort of money ball years where they're winning, 100-plus games. So it's not just about the money you spend. It's about how you could build your team, which is so the teams that don't necessarily have all the money or don't want to put all their money into the team, there are other ways to win.
Yeah, but they seem to take turns on a cyclical basis of being in the dance while the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Mets and everybody.
I mean, the Rangers just won the World Series a couple years ago. They were in the World Series against the Diamondbacks. The Cardinals have won the World Series a bunch of times. I hear you that there are a certain couple of teams that are always there, but that's the same thing with, all right, in the NFL, if you get a great course, should Patrick Mahomes have to switch teams after 6 years? Because he's been on the Chiefs too long? Should Tom Brady have had to get off the Patriots after a couple years? Is this like fantasy baseball, a keeper league? You can only keep a player for 6 years and then you have to move on to make it fair for everybody else? Sports isn't fair. It's competition. You get the hand that's dealt to you and you do the best you can with that hand and you try to improve on it. Steve Cohen could just say, you know what, I'm not going to spend money. And the narratives that are false about him, where it's only about a casino and this, that, and the other, and he's got ulterior motives, he could just do that and not spend any money and not put any of his billions into the team. But he does that. The Yankees could just say, you know what? We could rest on our laurels. We've won a million championships. We're a global brand that can't be touched. We're not going to sign anybody. We're just going to throw Aaron Judge out there and do our best, and people will still show up because we're the Yankees. But they don't do that. And it's up to the mid-market to lower-market teams to find ways to crack the Rubik's Cube or pony up and make your team a destination for free agents. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
Hey, Lugie, I hope we're not up against it because I have a lot to say.
No, we're not. We're never up against it with you. Ray, I wouldn't put you in that position. I figured you had a few things you wanted to get off your chest, so I give you the floor.
Yeah. Well, no, and I greatly appreciate that, Lugie. And by the way, before I begin to say what I'm going to say about the Yankees and Mets, I didn't hear... I just got into my car leaving when I left the gym when you were talking about having, I guess you had like some kind of like a huge debate with a Yankees fan. But so of course we're going to keep it respectful and cordial, but we're going to be very real and have a nice back and forth a debate slash conversation, mm-hmm. but not yelling at one another because, you know, even though I'm close to your age, I have a 23-year-old son, so that's not a good look for me. So, but yeah, so like you said last time when we spoke, and because I mentioned to you me and Hoff had a falling out, you said, hey, we're all grown men here, and I agree with that assertion that we're all grown men. So I like
absolutely, and honestly, like I had a little bit of a. What would we even call it? I guess a screaming match with Paul and Yonkers, who calls me about the Mets. He calls me about cats. We talked about it. I guess he lives rent-free in my head. We played the audio. I thought I'm being a good radio host by doing that, but apparently it's in my head. And I was fair to him. He called me the next day. We broke bread. Same thing with Jake. Same thing with Matt, who was taking shots. Call me up. We could fight. We're like family. To me, we are a family. Sometimes you fight with your family. Sometimes you love your family. You know what I mean? Like, one day we could be yelling at each other. The next day we could be all lovey-dovey. But I will always, like, shine a light on that stuff because I think it enhances the overall passion of the radio show.
Right, no, you're absolutely correct, and here's the thing, right? So and like I said, we're gonna have a real conversation, but we're gonna be respectful. Mm-hmm. But Loogie, the truth of the matter is that you do the past couple of years when you picked up, you know, you started the whole shtick about Big Brother, Little Brother. You have been very subjective and very you know, there's a lot of misinformation and propaganda that you put out there about the Yankees. That's just the honest truth. I'm being as objective as mm-hmm. possible. And, you know, it does annoy the hell out of me, even though you seem like the kind of dude that if we ever got together and chilled, we could pick up shorties. You know, have a great old time.
Of course.
As long as we stayed away from the Yankees comment.
Yeah, as long as we don't talk baseball, we should be good. Which, by the way, I wouldn't talk baseball with you out at a bar. That's kind of the way I am. I think McMonagle always gets mad at me because he wants to talk sports with me in the newsroom. I'll talk sports on the air, and I'll talk sports at times in the newsroom. But, you know, I could talk about anything. So I wouldn't bring up topics, Ray, if we were out, you know, kicking it, that I know would incite kind of some bad feelings because it's not about that. You know what I'm saying? When we're out, it's not about those kind of vibes. Not about that life.
Yeah, besides. And and you're right when you talk about family. Listen, I've never spoken to you. I mean, I've been upset at a couple of guys here and there. But the stuff that I've said to my own brother, he said to me in sports debates, forget about it.
So, like honestly, Ray, you know what? It's funny. You bring up something that actually is almost true to life. So a year ago, or just about, you know, last year, for the Subway Series, Soto's return to Yankee Stadium, it was me, Marash, and McMonagle. And we were at Stans, and this guy comes up to us and said, hey, you know, big fan, whatever. This, no joke, he bought McMonagle and Marash a beer, looked at me and said, I just can't do it. I can't buy you one. I was like, all right, bro, you want to take it to that level? Like, I wish you didn't. But and not that I need a free drink, but the fact that you feel like you can't do that with me, all right? But I promise you, like, if you meet me on the street, you're going to love me. If I say things that annoy you, part of what I'm, you know, get paid to do, but also just part of the way I feel. But if you ever see me out, like, just know it's, come on, let's not allow sports to take over, you know, that hatred kind of stuff. You feel me?
Yeah, no, I guess I get his perspective, but I get yours.
It was funny. I was like, you know what? He stood on business. So I was like, all right, cool. I got you.
Yeah, well, maybe he doesn't have, you know, he lacks a little bit of maturity, but whatever.
All good.
But so, yeah, so some of the things, right? Look, I'm objective about my team, the Yankees.
Yeah.
I'm objective about the Mets as well. And here's some of the things. So a couple of years ago, it was Hoff who started it first, and then you kind of picked up on it where you guys were saying it was misinformation and propaganda that, oh, the Yankees hate one another when Soto was on the team. And there was no signs of that ever. And after the fact, Soto continues to tweet about Judge, how much he loves him, this, that, and the third. So there was no truth to any of that. Actually, it was happening in your own home, and you guys were putting that misinformation out there. So that's one thing that had really upset me, because there's been no such talk about the Yankees and the locker room, and it's only been with the Mets from that point forward. So, you know, I consider that to be very subjective.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And misleading. And then the other thing is, look, with Volpe, he pisses me off. He does.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, I'm going to be real about my own team, Lugi. This guy, Caballero, is a bum. He sucks. Like, listen, he's a backup player. There's a reason why he's been a career backup. And the other thing is, Volpe in a bad year had 20-70 last year with 25 steals. Caballero might not have that for his entire career. And like I said, I'm not defending Volpe. He needs to be better. But to put a fourth, not a fourth outfit, to put a bench, you know, piece out there in place of him, mm-hmm. I don't think that makes much sense. And then with Soto, you took a little shot at my casting judge, right? So how did Soto do last year? And you keep throwing this out there about him being, you know, third in the MVP. That's because there's a dearth of MVP candidates, apparently, because the guy, when he hit his home runs, when he started hitting in July, mind you, or June, the Mets went 3-17 in the games in which he did homer in that month. Then 2 months later, he had another good month, so 2 months out of six, and they had very much the same record in the games where Juan Soto, you know, had home runs and RBIs. So he did it all in garbage time, and it took him 3 months to hit without Judge protecting him. And, you know, you can't argue the fact. And by the way, he didn't carry us to the World Series. We were up 3-1 in that series. I appreciate the home run he hit that, you know, supposedly delivered us there. But Stanton was the guy who carried us. So that's also a little bit
misleading. I think I'm pretty sure, though, on that one, Ray, when I do say that, I always say Stanton and Soto. If I don't mention Stanton, that's on me. But I'm like 99.9% sure that I always, and I appreciate it, bro. I appreciate the, you know, the back and forth and the critique there. I feel like I always mention it was Stanton and Soto that did it. And if for some reason I don't say Stanton, then going forward I will. But I know that I have. And Soto's numbers were pretty much on par with the year he had with the Yankees. And those first couple of months, yeah, there was some weird things going on, for sure, and he didn't hit the way most of us expected, but by the end of the year, the numbers got there. Just everything seemed to be a little bit, I would say if I had to diagnose the Mets season, when you want to have like a real successful year, you figure, maybe not all the time, but most of the time, you are going to be clicking on all cylinders, and for them, when they were pitching, they weren't hitting. When they were hitting, they weren't pitching. When they did hitting, pitching, the bullpen. So it was kind of one of those deals where they just couldn't get the big four parts of the game to be in sync with each other at the exact same time. That's probably the best way to diagnose it. You know, the easier, most people would say, well, they collapse. Like, that's kind of the broad stroke of the season. No, they collapsed. They were horrible, you know, from June on. But it's not as simple as that. It's one of those things, like I said, it just, they weren't, when they were hitting, they couldn't pitch. Then they started to hit. And because the pitching wasn't there, then they didn't hit, even with all the hitting, it didn't matter. Some of the acquisitions that were made at the deadline. Obviously, we know what happened with Helsley, what happened with Mullins. So it wasn't really just one thing that you can pinpoint. And that's why you probably paint it with the broad stroke rather than name, you know, 50 things, because you could quicker diagnose what went wrong or why they ended up where they ended up. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get back to those calls. Mets, Yankees, Judge's legacy. We'll mix in some Knicks as they get the second half started tomorrow against the Pistons. We'll talk about that. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Ask Tommy Anything. You don't want to miss it. The weekly segment that everybody loves. It's very popular. And it's your opportunity to ask me anything. I encourage you not to ask me about sports, because you can always ask me about sports. You can hit me up on Twitter about it, at Tommy Lugauer, Lugauer. You can ask your question there if you're not going to be awake later or you're a little, shy to call up on the radio, but it could be about music, life, television, radio, my career, whatever's on your mind about that. And we'll do that at 10 o'clock. But until then, take your calls. Like I said, we'll mix in the Knicks as well. The phone number, 888-808-1019. It's After Hours. Positive Tommy here in primetime.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.